So we've begun most afternoons with our Om Nam chanting as call and response. This afternoon, the response has come before our call. Bob Waldinger, senior Dharma teacher of Boundless Way, will be giving a Dharma talk, and then we'll have a brief Dharma dialogue. So, welcome.
So I'm the universe responding. No pressure there. It's really a treat to be able to come and be here with you all. It's immediately clear that there's a stillness here in the Angha that's very precious. So I'm glad to be here. So, the koan. Miscellaneous koans, number 21. Once, a woman raised a goose in a bottle. When it was grown, she wanted to get it out. How do you get it out without breaking the bottle? Well, as I suspect many of my predecessors in this seat have done, I've chosen a favorite koan that drove me crazy, that I struggled with, that I agonized over. And the struggle, of course, has made it stay with me and has enriched my practice and actually my daily life. So the struggle. So it's part of the miscellaneous koans. And I was new to koans, relatively new. I had struggled a long time with Mu, and then I had started on the miscellaneous koans. And actually, I was kind of perking along, thinking, oh, I can answer these. I know what this is. Gee. And I was perking along, and then it was Melissa who gave me this koan about the woman raising the goose in the bottle. And it was at Sashin. So I went out and I sat with it. And I went in and I gave my answer. And it was to James. And James said, no, no. So I left. I felt kind of bad. And then I went into Melissa and gave another answer. And Melissa was gentler. She said, why don't you sit with that a little bit? So then I went back out again, and I went through every mental acrobatic I could, trying to think, what is this? How do you not break the bottle? And I was thinking about the composition of glass, and I found that I was getting increasingly frustrated and angry at myself, and angry at the koans, and angry at Melissa and James. I wasn't doing koans with David, so I wasn't so angry at David. and really, really upset. And then what began to dawn on me was that this was completely about my need to get an A on this, to get the right answer, to get a good grade. And of course, that didn't make me feel better. Because here I was, a middle-aged man, sitting there racking my brain, trying to get a good grade on this silly story from thousands of years ago. And I became more and more frustrated. And then we were at a place called Allison's Orchard that some of you will remember. And I began to hear quack, quack. And I thought, those are geese. This is the goose. This is the goose. And you know how when you sit for a long time, you begin to have kind of unusual thoughts. I decided that these geese had come to torment me. And also, Melissa has a way of sometimes saying, oh, this koan is just perfect for where you are right now. And I thought, I knew it wasn't rational, but I thought, maybe they really brought those geese here to, you know, for me. So, and I got more and more upset. They, of course, they weren't geese. They were ducks. But to me, they were this quacking. This was, they were geese. And at one point, I was so frustrated that I just completely gave up. I said, I'm done. I'm not doing koans anymore. I gave up. And then it was just me sitting there in my misery and the sunlight streaming in the late afternoon and the stillness, just like in this Zendo. And the smell of the incense, and suddenly it all dropped away. And suddenly I was free. I was out of the bottle. And I went in and I answered the koan from that place, and yeah, yeah. So then I went back to my cushion and I thought, well, good, okay, now I've got this down, now I know how to do this. And sure enough, maybe two koans down the line, I was back in that mode of gotta get a good grade. Gotta do this. Gotta be right. Gotta be a good Zen student. And then I realized that there was no easy way out of this bottle. It is actually a scary image. The idea of this poor baby gosling being put into a bottle and then fed until it gets so big and then it can't get out and maybe it's hard to breathe and can't move. And one of my thoughts was, well, why didn't the woman think of that in the first place? But I think that the Zen master who gave us this koan was really trying to point to something so universal in our lives about these bottles that we find ourselves in, that take so many shapes and are so ever-present for us. And of course, on the emptiness side, the oneness side, if you will, of our practice, there is no bottle. There is no separation between bottle and goose and me and the woman. But on the side of form, those bottles are really intense. And so a lot of practice, I find, is trying to become as familiar as we can with those bottles, with their shape, with when they appear, with what we are like in them. Dogen wrote about this and thought deeply about it. He understood that delusions are inexhaustible, that we are always finding ourselves in these bottles that distort, that separate us from life, from what is. And he has a wonderful image that I think must have come from his journey from Japan to China, which you would have to make by boat. And his image is about what it's like to be in a boat. When we sail a boat into the ocean beyond sight of land, and our eyes scan the horizon in the four directions, it simply looks like a circle. No other shape appears. This great ocean, however, is neither round nor square. It has inexhaustible characteristics. To a fish, it looks like a palace. To a heavenly being, a jeweled necklace. To us, as far as our eyes can see, it looks like a circle. All the myriad things are like this. Within the dusty world and beyond, there are innumerable aspects and characteristics. We only see or grasp, as far as the power of our eye of study and practice can see. He's reminding us that just being human, just having a heart and a mind and a body, means that our vision of reality is limited at best and distorted, deluded. and that the job of practice is to see the human condition and to see beyond, to get glimpses of a reality that doesn't depend on where we sit or who we are. So there are just the bottles involved in being human, but then we each have our own special bottles that we create. So I was coming full on, face to face with that container of mine of being a good student, wanting to get it right, wanting to get a good grade, wanting to please my teachers. And I saw it, I see it play out in so many areas of life, with my wife, with my children, with my boss. It is a shaper and a bounder of my life. And of course, I know you've been sitting here for many days. You have been enjoying the contours of your own special bottles. It might be needing to be smart, needing to be independent, needing to be awakened. And of course, those bottles sometimes are very present and the glass is 2 miles thick, and sometimes they're very delicate, almost imperceptible. And of course, when we think about the koan, the instruction is to think about and be each person in the koan. So I'm not just the goose in there, trapped, having grown too big for this bottle. I'm also the woman who put the goose there. Why do we put ourselves in these bottles? Well, we could get into a long story about karma, or as a psychoanalyst, I could tell you long stories about how we grow up and all the habits and causes and conditions that bring us to where we are. And I can tell you, for example, that there must have been ways in which being a good student and pleasing my teachers, pleasing my parents, must have worked so well. And in addition, these bottles protect us. There must have been a way in which I didn't want to know what it would be like not to be the A student. Whatever your have-to-be is, it may have felt like it was protecting you from something. And in addition, these bottles work. My being needing to be a good student, well, it actually makes me a little more careful in my work. It probably makes me a little more attentive to my family. These are not things to be gotten rid of. First of all, we can't. Nothing to be left out in this practice. So if we're hopelessly deluded and we're stuck in these bottles, what is our practice? And it's really to keep noticing, to keep seeing how we can hold the bottles as lightly as we can and get those glimpses beyond where there's really no separation, there's nothing between us and just this ever-changing, ever-arising reality. So the koan has stayed with me because every day when I walk from the place that I park my car to the place that I work, I walk through this big open space with grass and trees. And some days there's a gaggle of geese walking around pecking. And I look at those geese and I have that sense, that taste of freedom, that sense of possibility beyond my worry about what I'm going to say in the meeting this morning or how I'm going to deal with this problem that's come up. Sometimes I even entertain the fantasy that Melissa has hired those geese and put them there just for my edification. But mostly I realized that this koan and all the struggle that there was for me around it has become a kind of beacon, and those geese are just a glimpse of the freedom that's available to us in every single moment. And then I walk on to the hospital and I start the first meeting of the day.
Thank you. I invite you to sit comfortably, and we'll now have our Dharma dialogue, which is the opportunity to ask questions about the talk or to questions about practice or Zen. Yeah.
I don't know whether we've talked about this or whether this is just this sort of thing that's been cropping up in my mind. I know we've talked about this. The desire that we all wind up having to be someone else, to be, you know, it's like, I want to be that person, or I want to be that person, you know? And it, listening to this talk, it suddenly hit me that it's like, I sit here in my square rectangular jar model, and when I want to be someone else, it's like, I want to be in that round jar, that curvy jar, that intricately shaped jar, but it's just another jar.
Yeah.
There's a great quote from Oscar Wilde that made me. He said, "Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken." And with that, Ed achieved great enlightenment.
Bless you, Oscar.
Hey, Chris.
I don't. Hi, Bob. I don't know. It would really be something if Melissa has trained geese to hang out in the field.
Why would that be?
She's got powers.
Yeah. We don't like to talk about them. There's some things we don't talk about.
Okay, forgive me.
Me and the geese. Is...
But you know, but the Buddha is certainly putting them there for you.
Yeah.
And one of my favorites is the koan about the geese flying south. And I think it's Matsu, I guess, who whacks him, and, you know, when did they ever fly away? And I live near a field as well, and the geese are never hanging out. There's no, you know, environment for them, but this is like a path that they come down from the lake, and so often in the morning at dog walking time, you know, there they go overhead, and it's just like, boom. So, I don't know, here's the geese, right?
Yeah, really?
They taste really good.
Special feast tonight.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Danielle.
So, it struck me when you said how we've all been here enjoying our bottles. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
I am capable of irony. I am.
But then it struck me that why not? You know, why not enjoy our bottles? Yeah. And so direct. Thank you.
That's just really, you know, and that's actually for me. Uh-huh. That's really been one of the most helpful things about practice. And I don't think I could do that without everybody without the Sangha and without the teaching, to really begin to say, okay, this is my bottle.
Yeah.
You know, this is me. This is how I show up. I'm always going to want to get a good grade. Yeah. And that's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And there are some pluses about that. Mm-hmm. You know, but to really,
yeah.
I think even more than, for example, my own psychotherapy, mm-hmm. I think this practice has fostered a kind of radical acceptance for me that's mm-hmm. different.
That's amazing.
About that.
Really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Still working.
Well, so let's we'll have a few more breaths and then we'll move into Kini.